There's a hymn that is often used in weddings. It goes something like this, at least the opening lines. Go, O perfect love, all human loves excelling. And our subject tonight is love perfected. And yet, how can you perfect what is perfect? O perfect love, we're going to perfect you some more. Doesn't make sense, does it? Well, I think, as we'll see tonight as we look, the perfection is in the delivery of it, not so much in the love itself or in the one who is love. God is love. Now, most of you know, if you've studied the Bible for any length of time, that there are three words that in the Greek are frequently translated love. There's eros. You won't find that in the Bible. And I've never seen a Presbyterian church called Eros Presbyterian Church. It has to do with sensual love, with feelings and so forth. And then there's philos. And I have seen churches called Philadelphia, a brotherly love church here and there. But most of the time when this idea is put forth, it's agape. Certainly it is in our passage tonight. And you will see from time to time, agape Presbyterian Church, agape fellowship, agape this, agape that. Now, just to refresh your thoughts a little bit about the term agape, it refers to a sacrificial love. It goes with what Jesus said to his disciples, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God's love is a sacrificial love. And in our passage tonight, God sent his Son into the world as the perfect expression, if you will, of his love. So that I think it would be good for our first point tonight to say not as the English translation renders it, God is love, but or another way that it's put there, love is from God, to say agape is from God. God is love and no one else is. So that if you're going to try to get to the heart of it, to the depths of it, you want to begin with him. Real love is what we find in him. And if we have real love in our lives, it comes from God. You'll notice how the passage starts here in 1 John. Beloved, meaning those who are the recipients of his agape, his sacrificial love. And this love was ours from even before the foundation of the world. Let me quote from Ephesians, the first chapter, which reads in beginning in verse 4. It says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And then goes on to say, in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. So love comes from God. God is the source of the love. That love was flowing toward us even before we were in existence. We were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. Now, I believe with respect to creation that when God said, let there be light, he didn't have to wait on the light to get here. But the scientists today will tell you that the light we're receiving from such and such a star was so many billion years ago begun. I think that light was already there. But just for the purposes of illustration, let us say that from before the foundation of the world, God's love was already flowing toward us. And by the time we got here, that love was waiting for us. And thus John can say to us, beloved, those of you who are loved with God's sacrificial love. Now, I want to use a metaphor tonight of a river flowing and use that to kind of get us at the idea of the perfecting of this love. God's love is perfected in us. And there are basically two kinds of sources for rivers. Now, if some of you are geologists and you've studied these things, I yield to you about this. But from what I've read, and especially this is true in the Himalayas, that there are rivers that are the result of glaciers. The glaciers form and then they melt, and the melting water becomes a river, and finally, by the time it reaches the sea, it's a large river that has come down from those great high mountains. But then there's the other kind of source, which is springs. And that's really where I want to point us tonight. God's love is not a glacial love, but it comes from deep within. We would say of an earthly river, from deep within the planet. But it comes from deep within God, from the very heart of God, if we can use that analogy also. That's where the source is. That's where our springs come from, as far as trying to figure out what's the source of this river that we have. It's a very deep source, and it flows from inside him all the way down through the centuries, through the world, to us, as God's love that was meant for us does indeed finally reach us. Now, this river that is born, as it were, is what we might call a spring-fed river. It is a river that comes from the Lord, and when it gets to us, it kind of blossoms in another kind of spring. And I like the passage at the end of Psalm 87, where the writer says, "All my springs are in you." But what's the you? Well, the context there is Jerusalem, that the writer has been praising Jerusalem and the glorious things that have to be said about Jerusalem. But it's interesting, there's a pause, one of those selahs that you read in the Psalms. There's a pause there, and then he says, "All my springs are found in you, from you." And so I would like maybe to suggest to you tonight that not only is the writer there saying that he has roots, as it were, or springs in Jerusalem, but that his springs go from what Jerusalem represents, and that is the city of God, the place where God has chosen to place his name, where God has chosen to be in the midst of his people, so that it is equally acceptable, I think, to say that, yes, our springs lie in the people of God that have been preserved by him and kept by him, and where he resides there. But it goes a little more deeper than that. But our springs are indeed in God himself. And so this river of love from God is born, as it were, within him, but it becomes born in us also, as we have springs, as we are able to produce something of the love of God. At the beginning in God, there's no perfecting. He is perfect. His love is perfect. But when it gets to us, it's been through some rough times. It has to be filtered, as it were, through our sinfulness, our imperfections. And so God is able to perfect his love in us as his Holy Spirit works in us. He says that the one who does not love does not know God. Now, using this analogy, then, he has no springs, or whatever springs there may be. They form a sort of river to nowhere. If we were to speak of springs as being truly useful and helpful, they would form themselves into a river. They would form themselves into something of which we would partake and which we can impart in our lives. If you do not know God, if you have no relationship to God, then you're producing something, maybe it would be right to say a river to nowhere. But those of us who know him are those through whom his love, his river of love, from the springs deep in himself, that is where it's flowing and where it's going to what God has for the things that God has for the world and for each other through him. Colossians chapter 1:10 reads like this: "Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing how in the knowledge of God." So I suggest to you tonight that that knowledge of God is how we live with him day by day. We don't live in ignorance of him. We don't live apart from him. We live in the knowledge of God. And that knowledge of God is a knowledge of His love, is partaking of His love. And then we can share that through ourselves to others and return that love to Him as God enables us to do that. So again, when we think of this love of God being perfected, flows out of God into us, and then God makes it to be purer, stronger, more powerful, more applicable in our lives. Agape is from God. All our springs are in Him. All our sources of life and knowledge are from Him. Love is from God. He is that spring, that source, let me say, of a spring-fed river which flows into our lives and out of our lives to make God's purpose come about, to make the relationship between people and God Himself to work. Agape is from God. Now he says further here in the passage that the love of God was manifested. What does he mean? He means that the love of God is not just an idea, nor is it just kind of a situational thing in which we say we have the knowledge of God and we know that we're surrounded by His love and that we can love to a certain extent in that way. But he says that the love of God was manifested through His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live. So that love manifested means that there are effects of that love, that the manifestation of it is seen in how it comes into this way and that way and the other way. The love of God, again, is something that is effective, something that takes hold in the world. And it's all centered, whatever manifestation of it there is, it's all centered upon God sending His Son into the world that we might live. That somehow it's not correct, it's inappropriate to talk about having the love of God, expressing the love of God, having the knowledge of God without Jesus Christ as being the energizing factor in there. Sometimes we speak of the energy that is in a river. And when there are strong flowing currents, we say that is a very energetic river. There's power in that river. Well, I suggest to you again tonight that the power, the energy of the river that flows from God is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly in His willingness to come into the world, of God's willingness to send Him into the world that we might live. Again, He started this flow, this power, long before the world, long before we ever came into the world. But the energy, the power, the effects are directed through us. And that, again, is how love is perfected. It's not perfected out there somewhere in a laboratory. It's not perfected in the mind of a brilliant person who can see this and that theoretically. But it's perfected. It's worked out. It's made to be more and more what God wants it to be, more and more like His perfect love as we are related to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't know Christ as Savior, then we don't know the love of God at all. And even if we know Him, there is improvement, there is perfecting, there is work going on as we draw closer to Christ, as we listen to Christ, as we follow Christ's example, if we commit ourselves more and more fully to Him. He uses the word here, propitiation. I think you're all familiar with that word. It means that which turns away the wrath of God, that which shields us from the trouble and the punishment that might come upon us. So that, again, the love of God is perfected, is made to be what it should be in our lives as we look to Him who died for us on the cross, as we offer ourselves to Him in gratitude for what He has done for us, as we believe fully and completely that His sacrifice upon the cross, His agape, self-sacrificing love, was for us. The more we're familiar with that, the more we commit ourselves to that, the greater the effect that it has upon us and upon those around us. We spoke earlier of the fact that Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But that uttermost laying down of his life is seen in the cross of Calvary, in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you have God's love perfected within you? Would you have that which John references here? Then you need to look to Jesus more and more, committing yourself to him more and more, making that the reason for your living, the reason for everything that you do. Our utmost responsibility is to love him in return based upon what he has done for us from before the foundation of the world, in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Our responsibility is to love him. And then Jesus goes on to say, if you love me, then keep my commandments. The love of God always has these effects, always has this result that is somehow observable. And then out of our responsibility flows our love for one another. And you know, in this part of 1 John, he keeps saying, love one another. This commandment's a new commandment, an old commandment. It's the commandment to love one another, but it's the outworking of the love of God in our lives. You won't love your neighbor as you should. You won't love one another without Christ. You won't love Christ without the sovereign love of God that goes back before all ages. The love of God was manifest in Jesus, and the love of God becomes manifest or visible or effective in your life as you draw closer to the Lord, as you have the knowledge of God, as you have Christ to be your example and friend and brother, Savior. In Charles Dickens' book, Tale of Two Cities, it's a story of Sidney Carton, who is a friend of a girl named Lucy Manette, and he loves that girl, but she loves somebody else. She loves Charles Darnay. And the way the story unfolds, Sidney Carton, who is somewhat a ne'er-do-well kind of fellow, is not doesn't have too much of a reputation, but he loves this girl so much, and he wants her to be so happy that he goes to where Charles Darnay has been arrested during the French Revolution and is destined to be executed in the guillotine. And he figures a way to trade places with him. And having succeeded in doing that, he lays down his life for his friend so that Lucy and with her Charles can be happy. But that's an example, that's an illustration of love manifested, of love having effects, of love changing the situation. If that love hadn't been manifested, and of course this is a fictional story, but if that love hadn't been manifested, then Charles would have gone to the guillotine and the girl would have been brokenhearted and Sidney would have continued his empty and rather worthless life. But it was manifested. It came to be. It came to work. So I suggest to you tonight that in God, in perfecting his love in us, wants to see that manifestation in some way or other, in that willingness on our part to see things changed because we desire to please God, to obey him. We desire to know him better. We desire to serve him as we should. The love of God was manifested. And then God enables us to replicate his spring of love. Isn't that an amazing thought? Where do the springs begin? They begin deep in God. They flow out of his heart. They flow down through history. They flow to the one who was intended for it. They flow, Lord, or the love of God flows into our lives and becomes manifest in these ways that we have seen. But what's remarkable is that we are able to replicate the spring. Now, we couldn't do that ourselves. That spring has somehow to be created and manifested in us. But there you have the new birth. Here you have God changing our hearts, which are rebellious against him, which if they produce anything, it's the river to nowhere. But God changes that and our flow then begins to come out. It begins with gratitude. It begins with that desire to obey God and to do what pleases Him, to make Him happy. And then it continues in the everyday love of God that we have. And again, I suggest to you, that's what John means when he talks about the knowledge of God. It's the everyday living with God. Or to put it another way, it's that love of God springing forth in our lives and flowing through it so that we have the knowledge of God in that way, that we participate in the river that God has set forth, or the spring that produces that. All my springs, said the psalmist, are in you. God's initiating love, that which begins deep in Him, becomes the pattern for our love because He has created that spring, at least to carry forward the original spring that God Himself has put forth. God's love then is being perfected in us and perfected by the Holy Spirit. Let me read to you a passage. I know you're familiar with it. It's from John chapter 7. And you'll read that when Jesus was at the feast, it was the Feast of the Tabernacles, as it happened to be at that time. And verses 37 through 39 there. Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said," now listen to this, "as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But now he has been glorified. And the rivers of living water, where do they come from? They come from the spring of God. They come from deep within Him. They flow to us. And then it's created in us the spring from which flows out also the love of God through the Holy Spirit, the rivers of water that have been made possible by the spring that God has put in us, by the knowledge of God, the everyday living with God that we have. And so it is, you see, that God's love is being perfected in us. How? By the Holy Spirit. All of these preliminary things had to take place. But the Spirit of God then makes it to flow. So again, we ask the question, how is the perfect perfected? By the Holy Spirit, by the perfect Holy Spirit, by the Spirit that is the love of God, by the Spirit who works in us and makes us love as we ought to know. And then one of the blessings that we see when this river is flowing, this river of love, this sacrificial giving of ourselves from us to others, from us back to God, we see that it exists not just, again, as an idea, but in deeds. And I'm reading from Revelation 2:9. The Lord says to the particular church there, "I know your deeds and your love." You see how they go together? Your deeds, the effects, they go together with the love. If you have love, you're going to have deeds. If there are no deeds, then you better ask, do I really have the love of God flowing in me? Love, along with many of God's attributes, are visible even though God is not seen. No one has seen God at any time. But what do they see? They see the deeds. They see the effects. They know that God is present that way. When I was a boy, I lived in a place near the Potomac River in northern Virginia. And there was a well that drew up water for the place where I lived. But I was told, and I'm not an explorer, I'm not a spelunker. I didn't go down in there to see what was down there. But I was told that there was a river, an underground river that flowed, okay? It wasn't seen, it wasn't even heard, really, but it was down there flowing. And how do we know that it was flowing? Because at some point, and I think it probably was in the Potomac River, because we were only a couple miles away, that it flowed, it came out there, it manifested itself. And no doubt there were other tributaries and underground flows and so forth. But the point is that the the manifestation, the visibility of God Himself is seen how? In this particular attribute, but you could name any number of attributes. You could say wisdom or holiness or justice or goodness. But people know that God is present because the river flows, because the river comes out. It may not be seen, it may not be heard in some respects, but ultimately it comes out and you see the effects of it. And that's one of the great blessings of God, that we can see the effects of love. We can see what it means to love others. Now, yes, it's true. Sometimes people don't return our love. They don't appreciate it. But I would say the majority of the time, people are happy and respond when they are loved. When the love of God, who is present in our lives, who's created this spring within us that flows forth, when that touches people's lives, when people who have gone on without love certainly find that love, when people who don't know what it means to be loved are affected and taken care of and changed by the love of God. One of the great blessings that the love of God being perfected is that people see and know, we see and know what God is doing. No one has seen God at any time, but we see the effects of it. We see the perfected love of God in our lives. Now, knowing that that love was sent in our direction from before the foundation of the world, and knowing that that love has created a spring within us, and knowing that that river is flowing, how we ought to be more conscious of it and more participative in it and be a loving and kind people. And I don't think there's any higher thing that we could achieve in the world than to be the kind of loving people that God intended us to be way back in the midst of forever, now coming forth and is seen in people's lives. May He grant us that. We ask it for His sake. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for the love of God, which passes knowledge, the love of God, which is beyond all human thought and character, the perfect love, yet unperfected in us, but being perfected by the Holy Spirit. May we, Lord, love as You would have us to love others, to love You, so that people will say, yes, that love is real and God is real. And I want to look to the one who is the perfect expression of that love, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we, in turn, then be His messengers, His bearers, the source of contact for the love of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.